Our Father and our God, we give thanks this morning for thy mercy, for thy grace, for bringing us together here to worship thy holy name. Holy Father, we now consecrate this time to thee. May thou be glorified as thy word is declared. Bless both the declaration as well as the reception of thy word. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray and I give thanks. Amen. You probably have heard the saying, desperation is the mother of invention. What this means is that when someone is in a desperate situation, they are most likely to come up with creative solutions, inventions to solve their problem. And this has proven to be true several times in human history. It was because of the desperation and the need to preserve blood during the Second World War that led to the invention of the blood bank. When the United States military was desperate for a universally effective vehicle during the Second World War that was maneuverable and able to hold at least 3 soldiers at once and capable of traveling in terrains that were steep and very rough, they called on the nation's car manufacturers to submit a design. And out of this came the invention of the Jeep trucks. Even during the recent pandemic, we witnessed tremendous growth in virtual technology as we improvised ways to stay in touch with each other without close physical contact. You know, loved ones, desperation can bring out the best in all of us. But while desperation can be a catalyst to actualizing human potential, in God's economy, desperation can actually be a recipe for disaster. And the reason for this is because when we become desperate, we tend to get in God's way and try to improvise and get things done ourselves. And one thing we fail to realize when we do this is that we instantly place ourselves in a place of spiritual weakness rather than the place of spiritual strength. And the result is always failure. And quite frankly, you know, this is what the enemy of our soul wants us to do. He really wants us to get in God's way, because every time we get in God's way, we allow him to come in, because we depend on ourselves. And perhaps there is no other place in Scripture where this truth is so profound than in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 16, in the story of a man called Abram and his wife Sarah. And from this narrative this morning, we will be able to see the importance of staying out of God's way, even in desperate situation, and letting God have its way so that the result will be positive and will be a blessing to our lives. This is what brings me to this pericope of Scripture in Genesis chapter 16. Now, by way of context, it was from Aran in the region of Mesopotamia that the Lord God called a 75-year-old man called Abram. And he instructed him to leave his father's house and go to a land which he would show him. And without hesitation, this man departed. But with this instruction, God also gave him certain promises. And among those promises was the promise of a great descendant, that Abraham would be a man or father of many nations, and out of him will come descendants, that is, as many as the stars in the heaven. So we read here that Abraham actually left and came to the promised land, the land of Canaan. 10 years into sojourning in Canaan, at the age of 85, Sarah was still barren. Now, in the ancient Near Eastern world, being barren was humiliating to an ancient woman, because being able to produce children was considered to be the essential duty of a woman. And not having a child was a source of ultimate sorrow and shame. But then the Lord appeared to Abram in Genesis chapter 15, and he reiterated the same promise that he gave him 10 years earlier, that descendants will come through Abram's loins, and that Abram's descendants will be like the stars of the sky. And there we read that the Lord entered into a covenant with Abram. So this brings us to chapter 16. And in chapter 16, the verse first reads that Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. Now, we don't know the period of time that has lapsed between chapter 15 and chapter 16. But we know that in chapter 15, God reiterated to Abraham the same promise, that Abraham, you will be father of many nations, that your descendants will be as the stars of the sky. But then in chapter 16, the promise had not come to fruition. Sarah was still barren. Now, I need to pause to make this observation, loved ones. And this is the observation. You know, when it comes to the promises of God, you and I must be willing and prepared to wait upon the Lord. You know, at times in our walk of faith, we want something or everything done for us instantly. We pray and we want God to answer us right now. But God loves to keep us waiting. And you might say, why does God love to keep us waiting? Because when God keeps us waiting, he builds some intangibles within us, powerful spiritual traits that will propel us towards spiritual maturity. He builds within us patience. He builds within us trust. He builds within us the potential to rely upon him. Those things that in of ourselves we cannot fully develop the way God wants us to develop it. As such, we got to understand that it's not instant gratification in God's economy, but it's delayed gratification. And you today might say, Lord, you haven't heard my prayer. And the reason the Lord might be keeping you waiting is because the Lord is trying to build something that's more greater than your need. He's trying to build something within you that will outlive whatever desire you're in need of now, because those things are going to be the things that you need as a believer to be more like Jesus. So if you find yourself waiting on God this morning, don't be worried and don't be anxious. Rather, give thanks to the Lord, because he is using this period of waiting to build up some spiritual intangibles within your soul that will definitely be a benefit to you as a believer in Jesus Christ. So now the narrative continues in chapter 16, verse 1, that Sarah had an Egyptian maid whose name was Agai. Now, the scripture does not say this, but I believe at this point Sarah was desperate. And the reason I make this assumption is because Sarah at this point was around 75 years old. We know Sarah was 10 years younger than Abram. So if Abram at this point was around 85 years old, Sarah was about 75. And based on a woman's own ways of change and hormonal changes, we believe at this point Sarah probably was postmenopausal. And she understood that at this point she could not conceive. Though God gave Abram the promise in Genesis chapter 15 that, listen, Abram, out of your loins will come a seed. But then Sarah looks in the mirror and said, no, this can't be me. And I believe this is perhaps what led Sarah to begin now to improvise. And how did she improvise? She improvised based on the custom that was prevalent during the ancient Eastern world of our day. You know, during the ancient Eastern world of our day, when a wife could not conceive, she can give a maid to a husband. so that the husband will have a conjugal relationship with the maid, and the maid, if she does conceive, the baby will now be that of the mistress. So that was the prevailing social norm during the time of Abraham. So this is where it comes in, that Sarah now thought it over and said, why don't I give my maid to my husband? Now, on the surface, this could be like an ideal solution. She would not only become a surrogate mother, but ultimately now, God's promise will be fulfilled, that out of Abraham's loins will now come a child. Though she would not be the mother, but Abraham will still be the one that through his loins will come the child. In other words, here Sarah was going to help God out. Sarah was going to help God to ultimately fulfill the promise that God gave to Abraham. By the way, loved ones, I need to tender to you this morning. You know, no matter how desperate you become, no matter how things get desperate in your life, always understand this. You must never lean on your own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 will say, trust in the Lord with all your mind, with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Sarah here leaned on her own understanding. She thought about an ideal situation and said, Lord, I think this will help you out. Lord, I'm gonna improvise a way so that my husband will have a seed, and that seed will inherit the Abrahamic covenant. But our idea was not God's idea. Our plan was not God's plan. She needed to trust in the Lord, but at this point, she trusted in her own intuition. She trusted in her own mindset. She trusted in her own way. And loved ones, the spirit of Sarah is still very prevalent in the 21st century. That there is a lot of us that is still trusting in our own reason. There's a lot of us that is still depending on reason rather than revelation, that we know this is revelation, but yet we choose reason. We say, Lord, I think I know better than you. Lord, I think I can figure this out quicker than you can. But I'm here to tender to your loved ones. No matter how much you think you got it figured out, there are some things you will never be able to control when it comes to your plan. There are some things that you can never control. And if you cannot control it, that means that your plan is subject to other people's control. And when that is the case, it might not come to the way you intended to come. And here we're going to see the problem with Sarah's idea, that she did not think of some of the contingencies and the potentials that could happen because of the human factor. And by the way, where did Agai come from? You know, I believe Agai came because she's described as an Egyptian maid. Now, if you step back a little bit to Genesis chapter 12, in Genesis chapter 12, when Abraham first arrived at the promised land, we're told there was a famine in the land and there was no food. So, but in Egypt, there was food. So in order to survive, Abraham migrated and took his family to Egypt. On the way to Egypt, he became afraid that it might kill him because of his wife. So Abraham told Sarah, he said to her to lie that she was his sister. Then upon arriving in Egypt, we read that when the Egyptian actually saw Sarah, they saw Sarah was beautiful, and they took Sarah to give her to Pharaoh. And after a while, we know that God actually stepped in and afflicted Pharaoh's house with a lot of plague. And Pharaoh was able to discern that it was because of Sarah. Then Pharaoh called Abram and said, what have you done to me? Then we see here, Abraham began to now confess to Pharaoh what's going on. And Pharaoh now sent Abraham away. And when he sent Abraham away, he gave Abraham, this is the key, a lot of stuff, including male and female servants. And I believe this was probably where Agai actually came from. And this is very interesting, loved ones, because what we see again here is an observation, loved ones, that you know what? Agai actually came into the picture through deception by Abraham. And we now see that, listen, what Abraham did in terms of his lie will now become tomorrow's undoing. Follow me this morning, loved ones. Follow me this morning. You know that Abraham actually acquired this woman through deception. Now, ultimately, what we're now going to see is that that deception now will bear fruit. And loved ones, I need to say this. You know, the lie we tell today might be our undoing tomorrow. You know, at times we might think to ourselves that, listen, I'm just going to deceive and I'm going to get away with it. And I'm going to make some profit from this. But whatever you do today might be undoing tomorrow. In the case of Abraham here, Agai came into the picture. Perhaps if Agai was not in the house, perhaps if Agai was not present, Sarah would not have thought about this, right? Oh, probably they have other maids. We don't know. But Sarah might not have thought. But for some reason, she decided to choose Agai. But Agai came into the picture through deception. And loved ones, I'm going to repeat this to you this morning. Be careful of the lies you tell today, because the lie you tell today might be your undoing tomorrow. The lie you tell today might be your Achilles heels tomorrow. Be faithful, be truthful. Why? Because when you're truthful, you don't have to be afraid of the future, because it's going to be the same yea and yea today and yea tomorrow. And I believe that that will save you a lot of headache in the coming years. So we read here that with this, Sarah now came to Abraham. And he said to Abraham here, he said, verse 2, "Now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I will obtain children through her." Now, when she came up with this idea, this is key, loved ones. Abraham, who knew the promise of God, could have said, whoa, wait a minute. This perhaps is not the way God intended to go. Because if God wanted me to actually go into Agar, he might have told me when he revealed himself to me in Genesis chapter 15. Abraham could have raised up his hand and said, no, wife, we can't do this. We got to trust in God. We got to trust in the Lord here. But unfortunately, Abraham did not do that, because we read here again in verse 2 that Abraham now listened to the voice of Sarah. This is the key. Abraham listened to the voice of Sarah. In other words, Abraham just surrendered and listened and concord with Sarah about a strategy. And the same thing we find in Genesis chapter 3, in the story of Adam and Eve, that God gave Adam specific instruction. Then when the woman fell into the sin caused by the serpent, she now gave the same fruit from the tree to the husband. And loved ones, I think it's important here to understand this. And I don't want to denigrate nobody this morning. But I want to let you know that at times God will give leadership certain responsibility. God will tell leadership certain responsibility. And it's the leadership responsibility to remain steadfast on whatever God has instructed them to do and to make sure that they obey the voice of God, obey the instruction of God. Oh, yes, at times the voice of reason must sound logical. The voice of reason must sound good. But we must understand that it's the revelation of God, it's the word of God that we need to stand on and we need to trust in. I believe this morning all Abraham needed to do says, Sarah, no, let's stop right here. Stop. I don't believe this is God's way. I believe God's way is going to be a miracle in your life, Sarah. But Abraham listened to the voice of Sarah. And we're told that Abraham, after 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abraham now took Agar, Sarah's maid, and gave a maid to Abraham. And this is interesting. Gave her to Abraham as wife. Now, again, I want you to pay attention to this set of verses. As a wife. Verse 3, as a wife. So implication, it says, Sarah is saying, Agar, now take my place. Not only my matrimonial bed, but take my position. Because she was desperate to have a child through her husband. She was desperate. And in her desperation, she made this call. But again, unbeknownst to Sarah, what she failed to understand is this, that she couldn't control the human factor. Because we're told that as soon as Agar saw that she had conceived, and she saw now that she was carrying Abram's baby, she began to despise her mistress. Loved ones, this is the human factor this morning. This is the human factor that Sarah did not anticipate. Because in her desperation, she only saw the actual. She didn't think of the potential. She didn't think of what will happen afterward. And loved ones, this is the problem with desperation. Because in your desperation, you see the actual. You see what the reality looks like now. And you assume that the same reality will be present in the next 10, 20 years. But you fail to understand that there are potentials and contingencies in life that you cannot control. And there are human factors that you cannot control. And ultimately, this might come to backfire upon you and cause you to stumble. Even as in your faith as a believer in Jesus Christ. And in her desperation, she actually allowed another woman into a matrimonial bed. In her desperation, she allowed another woman to come so that a covenant of marriage can be broken. And here we see that when the plan backfired, Sarah now goes to her husband. Said to her husband, Abram, may the wrong done to me be upon you, for I gave my maid into your arms, and now she saw that she had conceived, and I'm despised in her sight. In other words, Sarah said, Abram, it's all your fault. It's all your fault. Again, I want you to pay attention to this, because this is classic triangulation. Because this is classic triangulation. This was originally Sarah's idea. She came up with this idea, but then this idea backfired. All of a sudden, Abraham, you should have done better. Abraham, is all your fault. You should have told me, don't do it. That's my own rendition. You should have told me, don't do it. But listen, loved ones, I tended to you this morning. Even your desperation, and you discover that you're wrong. Be man enough, be woman enough to accept your wrong. Be man enough, be woman enough to say, Lord, I got it wrong. That is not my mother-in-law's fault. It's not my husband's fault. It's not my children's fault. It's not my co-worker's fault. It's me that is wrong. It's me that is wrong. You need to be able to take responsibility for your own wrong. And loved ones, in a desperate situation, it's always easy to always put a blame on somebody else. And don't even try to blame God in your desperate situation. Don't even try to blame God in your desperate situation. because it's never God's fault. God will allow through his permissive will for you to have it your way so that you can see the errors of your way. And I truly believe the reason God allowed Hagar to conceive was because God wanted Sarah to see the errors of her ways, that she was wrong in her desperation, because in her desperation, she actually stood in the way of God, and she's now going nowhere. And what does Abraham do right here? Watch what Abraham will now say. Abraham, after this has happened, said to Sarah, "Behold, your maid is in your power. Do to her what is good in your sight." In other words, Abraham said, "Listen, it ain't my fault. You go do it. Go figure it out. You came up with a plan. Go figure it out." Abraham did what they call the classic return to sender. You send it to me, I'm returning it back to you. It ain't my fault. I don't have no responsibility. You brought her to me. I didn't ask you for her. But Abraham also tried to exclude himself. But again, I think while Sarah in desperation obviously got it wrong, Abraham in his inability to stand for God's truth and obey God's word, he too got it wrong. And we're told here that Sarah treated her harshly and Hagar fled from her presence. And this morning, there are two spiritual principles I want us to glean from this narrative. And the first is simple. You know, desperation, today's desperation, might become tomorrow's generational burden. Again, today's desperate act might become tomorrow's generational burden. You know, out of the relationship that we have here between Hagar and Abraham came Ishmael. Then the Lord finally came through for Sarah and she conceived Isaac. But again, I want you to watch the dynamics here, because the dynamics is that Ishmael, we believe, became the father of the Arabs. And we see that through Isaac came Jacob and the nation of Israel. And today we can still see, between the Arabs and the nation of Israel, a continuous contention, a contention that has generational connection. And all of this, we believe, can be traced to this desperate act of Sarah, that she did not wait for the Lord. The second principle here I want you to lean on is this. You know, when it comes to the promises of God, trust is what is needed, not self-reliance. Don't ever trust your own instinct. Don't ever trust your heart. Rather, you need to trust in God. You need to trust and wait upon the Lord, because the Lord will come out and will bring you out and will fulfill his promise in due time. And loved ones, this morning, don't stand in God's way, because when you stand in God's way, you will get nowhere. Our Father and our God, this morning, I do thank thee this morning for mercy, for grace. Holy Father, may thou now consecrate this teaching, that Lord Jesus, through this teaching, many will understand thy will and thy way. Lord, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray and I give thanks. Amen.